Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, we're discussing spoilers, movie traps, and our topic this week, we are going to revisit our perfect summer movie soundtrack with Volume 2. Let's get on with the show. My name's Aaron Peterson. Joining me today, my fellow host, John Davenport.
Hey, buddy.
Troy Heinrichs.
What's up, everybody?
And Amanda Sink.
Back again. Hello, hello.
Yeah. I mean, you not exactly on time, but you were here. Hey.
I did the best that I could.
Did you?
I did.
When you say I'm 15 minutes away and it takes you 45, what exactly do you do? Do you take a dirt road? Do you just go through the woods? Do you stop and get milk? What are you doing?
No, but ETAs change based on traffic, and I'm in a metro area.
Can you do somebody else's best moving forward?
I don't know if I'm capable of Aaron's best.
No, you're not, because you'd always be on time.
Because he has a strong enough backbone to be like, nope, I got to shut this down. I got to go home right now.
Yeah, that's what you do when you actually have appointments. So, Troy.
That's
how life works.
You stay employed. I don't know.
I've been employed for 30
years. Yes, it actually is. You set boundaries.
You probably should have picked somebody else to take that example with. So, Troy.
Yes, sir.
Question for you.
Shoot.
You just went to Ren Faire, and I want to know, did you enjoy it? You said it was the first time you've ever been to a Ren Faire. So number one, tell people what Ren Faire is. My understanding is nerds dress up to get lucky. That's what I understood it. Is that not what I'm?
Well, I mean, nerds dressed up for many reasons to get lucky. They don't have to necessarily go to the Ren Faire specifically. I mean, they could just do LARPing. They could just do D&D games in their basements. You know, nerds are actually probably better off than jocks in a lot of ways, to be honest.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, nerd chicks lately are kind of hot.
Yeah, John, when you call them nerd chicks, they love that. Yeah, just keep going with that.
But the Ren Faire is a place that depicts sometime between like the 1200 to 1500 kind of medieval times era in the world. And so you go and they have like vendors that sell different corsets and jewelry and dragon things and knight things and swords and bows and all kinds of fun stuff. And then they sell all this random like food that you would get that was more period authentic type food. One of them was a Scottish egg, which was a hard boiled egg rolled in a pork sausage and then deep fried. And that was what you had for one Scottish egg. The problem with the Ren Faire is that it costs $40 to get in and $15 to park. And then everything inside is like $10, $15, $20. So it is literally a money trap for geeks.
Yeah, just like everything else on the planet. So overall, did you have fun? That's my question. Did you have fun?
You take the money out of it, it's a great time. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. The key is that it's so much bigger than I ever thought it was. It's like 30 acres, like wall to wall shows and things to do. So you have to go with a plan. If you go with a plan, much better experience. We just kind of was like, let's go here. Let's walk there. Let's go over there. And then it got to be about, I don't know, 1 p.m. and there was no more room to walk because it was so crowded with people. And then at that point, it was like, no, I'm out of here. It's just too much. It's too overwhelming. As I say, on a 70-degree day with very minimal crowd, it's an awesome time.
There's a show on HBO Max or Max or whatever it is you want to call it called Ren Faire, where there's this town in Texas that's owned by a guy that all they do is it's all a town built around running a Ren Faire. And I've watched the show. It's fascinating. I've also gone to several Ren Faires myself, and I never feel like I got gypped out of my money or anything when I go there, because it's the ambiance is always great. Dealing with the shows that you get to go see is always great. The jousting is always great. My favorite part is when you get an actual falconer that goes and shows up, because I love Birds of Prey and I love being able to see the falconer do his thing there at a show. So I just think Ren Faires are fun. So I've never spent anything less than $200 just to walk into a Disney park or a Universal park. So, yeah, it evens out.
So the jousting, do they use like Nerf spears or whatever? I mean,
no, it's real stuff.
Oh, really? It's real. They're really jousting.
They're really jousting.
So they have injuries.
I don't know if they're using more collapsible, not collapsible.
I promise you they are for safety regulations. There's no way that they're having, yeah. They're having real sword fights too.
Yeah.
They're really decapitating people. Like they're really putting
them. No, they're not decapitating.
Are they hanging folks? Other, what are they doing? How real are we getting at this Ren Faire?
It's real stuff.
They got people with real swords, real whips, real stuff. There's Jacques the Whipper who goes to all these different Ren Faires and does a whole show there. There's,
dude, Jacques the Whipper is amazing. That guy's so good.
He's from Orlando, I think.
Is he like Indiana Jones with that thing?
No.
Oh. Or is this like a BDSM thing? Is that what we're talking about? Because if you guys, like, that's off here. No. We don't need to be doing that right now, right? No. Keep your freaky shit out of this podcast. We don't even know.
John's responded. Troy hasn't, so.
Troy, no, Jacques Troy's like, just a really good
Jacques
comedian.
Jacques and I had a great time, let me just tell you.
He's a great comedian that knows how to work the crowd, and the crowd fits, you know, very specific Venn diagrams of LARPers, Dungeons and Dragons, so he makes the jokes appropriate, which is really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had a fire whipper. Mm-hmm. That was cool.
A fire whipper?
Yeah, they like lit the whips on fire, and then they were doing all kinds of like...
That's
kind of
cool.
Which you would see maybe at like a Hawaiian luau type thing, but with whips instead.
I'm in.
Luau you.
All right, well, moving on. So Keanu Reeves and Chad Stahelski are executive producers on John Wick, The High Table. It's a new TV show, so we are getting more John Wick without the John Wick part of it. Written by the old man, co-creator Robert Levine. The story in John Wick, The High Table, picks up directly after the end of John Wick Chapter 4, and apparently John Wick has left the world of The High Table in a tenuous position, and a collection of new characters will look to make a name for themselves while some of the franchise characters remain committed to the old world order. You're not going to get actually John Wick, you're just going to get new characters in that. And I'm just curious, Amanda, I know you're a big John Wick fan, do you want to see a John Wick show without John Wick? Do you just want to see a High Table show?
I feel like instinctually I want to say no, right? Because John Wick is what makes it such a phenomenal series franchise. Keanu Reeves in particular makes it phenomenal. But then I start to think about some of the characters that we've seen along the way that have been a lot of fun. And I don't want to nix the potential that there's somebody out there who's cool enough to make me entertained enough to watch this show. Like, it is possible, and I don't want to take that from the possibility, but it'll really depend on like whoever the lead is, or if they're doing you know, some sort of an entourage of people and how that would work.
Ooh,
I'm open.
John Wick, but like Entourage, like the show Entourage, like a bunch of a bunch of assassins just trying to get ladies.
Yeah.
I would watch
the big hit. I'm hearing the big hit.
That sounds really funny.
Yeah, the big hit was really funny.
No, that wasn't the same thing. I'm talking like you're just going around and just having a great time. They don't even talk about the murder. They're just like picking up ladies. That's all they're doing. Talking about their single lives and what it's like being an assassin. And I don't have to work this weekend. What about you? Yeah, no, I don't have to kill nobody. I'd watch that. That sounds like more fun than this. Nobody seems excited. Man,
I'm open. Is anybody else considering it?
They're dead. They don't care.
Yeah,
John just wants to reference old Mark Wahlberg movies. That's it. He's just like technically Entourage. Yeah, it was produced by Mark Wahlberg.
Speaking of somebody who beats people.
I mean, you never wanted any more Star Wars until you got more Star Wars.
I always wanted more Star Wars, and then I got it, and now I don't want.
And then you got too much Star Wars.
You got too much of it. But there's enough like High Table characters, like how the process works, how the hotel works. You know, there's a lot in there that you could work with to make something cool, because you don't necessarily need John Wick being a badass. You just need somebody being a badass at least be badass.
And I'm sure he'll cameo. There's no way he doesn't cameo.
It takes place after John Wick Chapter 4. Spoiler alert. he died at the end, allegedly.
That doesn't mean there's not flashbacks. Okay? Sure. There's always the chance that Keanu will return. You heard it here first on the Hollywood Outsider.
Yeah, we totally exclusive. We're scoopers. We can just do that. That's what scoopers on Twitter and X do now, right? They're just like, oh, I got the scoop. And they just throw out some random idea they had. And then when it comes true, oh, man, see, I called that 5 years ago. I'm like, dude, that person wasn't even, they didn't even know they were going to do that at that time. But okay.
Yeah.
John Wick's twin brother comes to avenge John Wick.
I mean, they just had the Continental and nobody watched it. So
it was also on Peacock, wasn't it? Nobody has Peacock.
Yeah. I have Peacock, Jackass.
Well, everybody has it, but nobody realizes that they have it.
I realize I have it. I just, there's nothing on it I want to watch on it.
Since we're talking about streaming channels, I do want to really quickly tell you guys that I got this very strange notification from Xfinity, which is who I have my internet through. I was checking it because my internet seems to be lagging today. Mm-hmm. And so I was checking that and it's like, by the way, for an extra $30 a month, do you want Netflix, Apple TV Plus, Peacock, and something else that I can't remember for an extra $30 a month? And I was like, dang, it is the start of going back.
Oh,
to the bundle. We've officially started it.
We're going back to cable for sure.
I was like, immediately, 40 channels on cable? That means like I might be able to have access to football? Done. I mean, done. And
major
Netflix
companies.
Netflix is already $20.
They've got major companies coming together now. You got Max, Disney, and Hulu like teamed up for a bundle. Whoever thought that was going to happen? Because they collectively want that cable. They want that cable back. Oh, they can taste it. Tastes sweet.
It's smart. They got us for a little while, but they're coming back.
We were so
happy. And again, there was nothing wrong with it. The thing that people wanted was the right to be able to cancel anytime without a hassle.
My issue is ads. I will pay the cable companies if they're not giving me ads. That's fine.
My issue is taking the time to cancel. That's effort on my part, and I'm busy. So I'm like, I don't want this anymore, but I want to take the 3 minutes it's going to take to like pull up the account and then cancel and then have to re-up when something I want to see comes back on. Or would I rather just throw money down a hole? And it turns out the hole wins a lot.
I need to send you an invoice and put you on automatic payments just so that you forget that it ever happened.
Somebody made an app to actually track this, so you can actually track which ones your streaming your account is linked up to, so you know when to cancel and just keep playing.
For clarification, we are not sponsored by them because they do sponsor a lot of podcasts.
Do they?
But if they're open to sponsoring us, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Just in case one of them's listening.
In today's climate, movies and TV are being spoiled everywhere, right? So like we talked about it a few weeks ago, Collider. I still say fuck them because they just put spoilers right in the article titles, and I'll never be okay with that. That's always a dick move. I'm sorry, but that just means you're the asshole. You know, whenever there's like a big movie or a big TV show, Deadpool and Wolverine, which we talked about on our last podcast, go listen to that if you want the full spoiler cast review. But that came out, lots of spoilers in there. House of the Dragon ended, lots of spoilers in that. Like all these shows, The Boys, when that ended, there all these spoilers that just keep coming out. And we talk about this, I feel like, at least extensively once a year, if not more. But I feel like the time frame is getting closer and closer to the day of release. So what is the appropriate and acceptable time frame to be able to discuss spoilery items on social media after something comes out, movie or a TV show, in your opinion? And I mean, hard stop. Give me a time frame when you feel it's comfortable from the time it's released.
48 hours.
So Eddie Murphy and Nick Nolte show up, and you're good with it.
Mm-hmm. I'm good with it. As soon as those two are there, I'm like, all right, you know what? If I haven't gotten caught up, it's my fault. That's
so 48 hours. That's your go-to. Okay.
That's my go-to at this point.
Amanda, what do you got? Hard stop.
Yeah, no, that's no nuts. I'm going to say a week.
A week. Okay.
And that is for something that's big and popular.
So if nobody watches it, is it shorter or longer?
I don't know.
Do you care? If a tree falls in the woods and no one's there, did anyone hear it? I don't know how that saying goes.
Yeah. No.
Did a bear shit on it?
But also, I don't know. I feel like we've gotten very, regardless of whatever we all decide on, we also have to acknowledge the fact that more than likely we're going to end up hypocrites because we typically wait. I mean, we've been like, don't spoil it, and it's been out for a year.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with remaining respectful. I'm just saying, for you personally, like, what point do you stop getting mad about it? That's what I'm saying. Like, you're okay with it. That's your hard stop.
On the receiving end. Like, yeah, I haven't watched it, I would say, a week.
Okay.
If it's within that week, then I'm going to be mad at you, because not everybody has, like, I still haven't been able to finish the rest of Game of Thrones yet.
Like, the main show?
It's almost been 24 hours, and I'm already had to avoid spoilers. House of the Dragon.
I do. That's literally the title of the show.
Yeah, but it's Game of Thrones, you know? It's just a different part of Game of Thrones.
Sure. Okay. So she's got a week. So. John's 48 hours. Troy, what do you got?
7 days.
Okay.
Ooh.
We're going to die. Great. A
week.
You guys agree. Yeah. You agree. I say 2 weeks.
This is amazing. You say 2 weeks.
I say 2 weeks. Yep.
Wow. That's kind of crazy.
In 2 weeks, I can buy it on Apple TV.
A lot of times that's actually not too far off.
Okay. No, I'm staying hard fast. For me, this is me, right? I think it's a dick move before 2 weeks. I think before 2 weeks, you're not giving people enough time. John's like, just rip the Band-Aid off and just show everybody every cameo that's ever popped up and just tell them how it ends. I'm like, because...
You know what? I guess you're also... I'm thinking... So when I answered mine, I guess I was more so thinking about TV. But when you answer yours, you're thinking about movie theaters. I can tell, because I know part of your... I shouldn't say I can tell and I know, but I feel very strongly...
Don't you mansplain this?
that more than likely, you're also thinking about having 2 full weekends to be able to like get to it.
Yes.
If you can't get to it the first weekend, the second... Yeah.
10 days.
10 days.
There we go. 10 days.
That's interesting the way we thought about it.
I mean, I was thinking like 2 weekends in my head, but I was like, who's going to say 10 days? No, you're pretty,
me. All right, 10 days. That's what I'm going with, because I do want 2 weekends. Now, TV is probably is going to be a week, because if you really want to watch it, get on it, you know? But I do see people...
Because if not, the next episode's going to be like previously on and spoil it for you anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're always going to try to be respectful and not spoil stuff that just came out. Like, we just don't do that. That's not our thing. But man, people still get mad. It can be like a year after something came out. I'm like, man, I just saw a meme about this. It ruined the whole thing. I'm like, dude, you had a year. Like, at some point, you have to take some accountability here. Like, you,
I'm still 2 seasons behind on The Boys.
I didn't know John Wick died.
Did you watch? You haven't watched Chapter 4?
I haven't watched Chapter 4 yet.
Feels like this is on you. I mean, that's over a year. Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
But does he, though? That's the question. Huh? Does he, though?
You don't really know.
Does he, though? So, I mean, the reason why I say 48 hours is it's more so like, I mean, we understand what the world of media is supposed to work. It has to do something fast. It has to do it quick, because once the diehards show up and do their thing and spend their money, then it's on social media or whatever article or trash or whatever that garbage is that they people read to drive more people to going to the theater again. So it's not just the hype. It's not just, you know, just the movie itself. Sometimes it's the excitement, because somebody goes, oh, you know what you're going to be able to see when you go to Deadpool and Wolverine? You're going to be able to see the Iron Hulk in there, and it's going to be badass. And you're like, I'm going to go see the Iron Hulk. That's going to be badass.
There's no Iron Hulk, Troy. You can put your headphones back on. Troy hasn't seen it yet. See?
I know,
so he's already worried that you're going to fuck up his entire weekend plan whenever that weekend happens.
Hey, I was respectful to Troy and to the listeners who haven't seen it yet and smashed 2 things together that don't belong being smashed together just to make up something.
Yeah, just to ruin. Like, I would, like, if somebody ruined the fact that Dr. Doom pops up in Deadpool and Wolverine, I would have been pissed. But thankfully, I got to enjoy it when it finally. Oh, sorry, Troy. You'll be fine.
I figured that was happening because it was at Comic-Con. That's just not a big deal.
He's not in there. They didn't have the check cleared yet.
They didn't have the de-aging process.
No, they didn't have the dump truck of money leaving the money on his front yard yet.
Beep. But what we got to stop this like the next day. I mean, when people are already dropping spoilers and memes and everything
else.
It's
the people
like,
that post the article at 7 p.m. when the show just started, because they got the early release. And since everybody's in the theater, they can just, boom, 7 o'clock, here you go.
It's just not cool, man. I'm just tired of people.
I mean, you remember that from like Entertainment Weekly would drop their freaking review before the Blacklist was even over.
Mm-hmm. Well, thankfully, I've gotten a couple entertainment sites out of my way. Notably, Collider. That bitch is gone. I'm never reading that one again.
Now you're just straight up calling them out.
Man, they can.
Yes, it. That's it. He's got it before deadline. He's
like, fuck those
that's
people.
That's savage, yeah. Though, to be like, hey, Q.
They all do it. Deadline, Entertainment Publicly. Weekly, Collider. It's like in the freaking title of the web address, let alone the headline.
No.
I will admit, a lot of this spoiling stuff has taken a lot of the fun out of reading articles about movies and shows that are coming or absolutely. Whatever just came out.
That's why I canceled the subscription. I don't do it any. I don't follow any of it. If I don't hear from Aaron on this podcast, I don't know about it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, boy. Zack Snyder's director cuts of Rebel Moon are out, so there you go. You may want to check those out if you're looking for that.
I almost watched them this weekend, but I got sucked into something else instead.
Oh, you didn't have 6 hours to kill?
No, I didn't. I mean, yes, but I gave it to something else.
No, but yes, but...
I didn't know they dropped this weekend until Aaron said it on the podcast.
See, that's what I'm giving you the advice. And you know what? Never showed up in Netflix's top 10 movies? Either of those films. Nobody's watching.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody saw them already.
No, I don't think they didn't come back after Rebel Moon 1.
I literally didn't know this was happening.
Yeah.
Till just now, also.
The general audience does not know. This is for the Snyder fans.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're not there. I'll tell you that, because they didn't make the top 10. I mean, there's the Minions. That movie's not new, and that's doing much better.
Because it's a great movie.
I admit I want to see them, but I just didn't have the wherewithal or the space in my brain to sit down and see them this weekend. I just love the audacity of changing the subtitle to the movies because it's a different cut.
I'm just tired of hearing him talk at this point. I used to love Zack Snyder and I used to root for him. Now I just want him to shut up. I'm tired of, we're going to have an extended cut and we're going to have this. Just do the movie right the first time. Why is that so hard? So many other directors have done. Steven Spielberg has a whole career of doing that, where he just got it right the first time out.
Got it right the first time.
God, it's not that hard.
And then we got the 20th anniversary of E.T., him floating in a bathtub.
And he retracted, and he took it back, and he's like, I should have never done that. That was the one time he pulled a George Lucas, and he pulled himself back later and said, I can't believe I did that.
Did he put the guns back in? Or did he leave the flashlights?
No, he put the guns back in. Yeah. Because that's what you want. You want FBI agents with guns chasing kids. That's what makes it exciting. Chasing them with flashlights is boring.
God. Yeah, and I watched enough TV to know that no FBI agent chases kids in the woods with flashlights.
Let's be honest. I don't think they would be running through the woods at all. They would delegate that to local authorities. Because they don't want to get those suits.
FBI doesn't go out in the field.
Yeah. Not a literal field. They sit
behind a desk.
All right. You know what? Let's move on to some spoiler-free reviews. Our show is independently funded, though, and therefore all of our expenses come from our own pockets. Patreon helps fans support their favorite podcasts. We have some bonus content that goes on to Patreon. We just had the Twister Bad Movie Night, where Scott Clark from the Gaming Outsider joined us to talk about why that is a great movie, and we don't understand why it had a 58% audience score. That was a fun conversation. That's on Patreon now. And if you want free content, well, it's not free. You got to pay to get there. But you can go to patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider, sign up, and you'll get instant access. Now, spoiler for reviews, I want to talk about House of the Dragon, but apparently I'm the only one that saw it all the way to conclusion, right? So I'm not going to do anything that's going to spoil anything. Relates to the whole conversation we just had. I'm not going to ruin anything. I guess what I want to ask, and Amanda, because you are mostly caught up on it,
yeah, I fell asleep during the finale.
That's fine. I think most people did if you watched it. it's kind of boring. Do you feel that's like it's missing? Is it missing something? I feel like it's missing something.
It's not as edgy and it's not as, there's not as much movement in the story. It's not as quick paced as we're used to with Game of Thrones.
It's not even pace paced.
Well, that too, because everything is there when it comes to the story and this feud, the characters and the actors, you know, the, I mean, everything about the design and even the dragons, everything is really cool and really alive. So everything I feel is there, except there's just a piece with the writing and direction that has to be adjusted moving forward to keep it amped up, right? Like, we know we don't know Game of Thrones in any capacity to be this very slow, not exciting, not engaging story. And a lot of what we've seen in this season, yes, there's some like drama and spiciness to it, and there's been a couple of holy crap moments, but it's not as significant as we're used to. And I think part of it is because we're zoning in on a deeper level to this time, this exact timeline. And so it feels more drawn out than I think we're used to.
I think you come in with expectations. I think that's the problem, because you did Game of Thrones already, and it was a different kind of experience going through that show of like, what the hell am I watching every single season?
Well,
yeah. And now you have that expectation of it has to be at that, you know, finale level.
I don't agree.
We're just finale, not slow. Maybe,
I just don't.
It just
think
feels
it's
very
good.
Slow.
The first season was slow.
No, the first season was slow. The first season was better.
The first season was better.
Is better than
Game of the Dragon, Game of Thrones, or House of the Dragon.
House of the Dragon.
Yeah.
First season, yes. I thought you were talking about the first season of Game of Thrones was slower, and I would agree. I think there were moments that were really crazy and moving forward, but I think it was a slower season.
But I think they set it up because of the whole time jump that they did, right? Where they were younger and then they became older in the first season. It's like, either make the whole first season younger so that you can jump to the older. Like, that dynamic of that was just, it did something to the show initially that, like, either I was in it because I really loved the younger characters or I really loved the older characters, and that divided the fan base. So now the people that enjoyed the younger characters, I think, are having the challenges with season two.
I don't agree with that. I just think it's been written poorly this season. I think it's meandered. Daemon's character just had a whole season of nothing. Like, literally hardly anything happened to him for an entire season. And I just feel like there's a lot of that going around. There's a lot of back and forth, and nothing actually moves forward in this season. I mean, now it comes to the end, and I'm not going to tell you anything that happens, but you finally have some forward direction, I guess. But I just feel like, man, it's missing something. It's just missing some of that magic. And, man, I would give anything to have season 7 or 8 of Game of Thrones to put up against that. I would watch that over rewatching this any day of the week. I really would. So when people are like, it's awful television, I disagree.
Well, and I think part of it's the problem, too, of the runtime, you know? Because, like, when you get used to, like, Star Wars shows being 34 minutes.
No, and then you're even, that's a you problem, Troy. That's a problem.
There's 34 flag on the play. There is 34 minutes of stuff in the latest Star Wars stuff that's just like, you don't even need this episode. Why is it here?
That's a you thing, because you're the most impatient guy. No, everything is like, I got to hear it on 6x speed.
I'm not impatient. If you could tell the story in 3 hours, tell the story in 3 hours. I don't need 10.
They cut the season back from 10 episodes to 8, and they still bored the shit out of me. That's just not a great sign.
Not 8 hours worth of story to tell.
There definitely wasn't. No, there definitely
wasn't. In this medium, right? Maybe there is in a book, but not in a visual medium.
Well, let's move on.
This is no book.
Let's move on to Trap.
Well, Trap is the latest installment from M. Night Shyamalan. And it is centered around a father and a teen daughter attending a pop concert where they realize they're at the center of a dark and sinister event that may or may not involve them, or at least him, in all of it. Aaron got to see it. I'm still, you know, reeling from M. Night's old. Knock at the Cabin was a little bit better, but it's still not back on the train. So I thank Aaron for taking the hit, because from what I heard, Aaron, this one's more night than day.
Oh, bazinga. I see what you did there. Kinda. It's definitely trying to be a little bit more Hitchcockian. And look, they give it away in the opening minutes in the trailer. So they give you the twist to start with, right? The whole idea is the FBI or the cops, whatever, they've identified that there's the serial killer known as the Butcher is going to be at this concert for Lady Raven, who's coincidentally played by M. Night's daughter, Saliga. Yep. Who's a very talented singer, by the way. She's very good. But anyway, so the idea is they're going to catch him because they know he's going to be at this concert and they're going to figure out who he is because they had an FBI profiler there. And Josh Hartnett is the dad who's taking his daughter, Riley, to have this wonderful time at this concert with 20,000 adoring fans. And then he finds out that, oh, you guys are trying to catch me because he is the butcher. Ah, it's in the trailer. That's the reveal. And then the rest of the movie is him trying to get out of there. Can he escape? Can he find a loophole? And he finds so many ridiculous ways to evade the police. The first half of the movie is fascinating. The second half is like, okay, what is happening? M. Night is basically imploring every twist he's ever had, and he's throwing them all at the screen. That's the plot.
Is it suspenseful, though? Does the music drive? Does the environment drive? Do you feel trapped at all as you're watching it? Or do you feel like that's the dumbest way to keep somebody inside of a concert venue?
Well, I think if you're asking me if the plot is stupid, it is idiotic because it makes no sense. So you're telling me that the law enforcement are going to knowingly trap a wanted vicious serial killer in an auditorium with 20,000 people that he could just murder if he wanted to because he's desperate as fuck. This feels like a bad idea on every level. That part's dumb, but it is kind of, it does make for a suspenseful script because you do. Josh Hartnett is an easily likable guy. He's really playing him like, yeah, I'm a serial killer, but I'm also like a goofy dad and I just want my kid. I'm having a great time with my daughter and I'm just trying to, they're trying to get me. I'm just trying to have a night out. Why are you ruining my night out, man? I'll get out of this. And then he's a very smart guy. Also extraordinarily lucky. So the first half is very suspenseful. And then the second half, I won't ruin anything, but there comes a moment where two characters should never be alone in a room together. It makes zero sense. It's absolutely against any logic and reason. And as soon as that happens, everything after that is ridiculous. And it becomes more and more ludicrous that he would even be alive, honestly, at this point. Like, it just becomes ridiculous. So the first half is a very suspenseful, very Hitchcockian. I'm really into it. I'm like, okay, this is an interesting way to do it. I like when we're rooting for the bad guy. And then it turns into he's not smart. He's lucky as shit. Like, he just has apparently the best luck in the world. He's Domino, you know? It makes no sense.
But did the music give any kind of environment to it? Does the score, like, because they're at a concert, are they like piping in stuff from stage? Or are they?
It's all like, written in song from his daughter Talika, which is, most of the music's good. I actually listened to the whole soundtrack. I thought she was very good. It reminded me of like Ariana Grande or something along those lines. And she has a very good stage presence. So I think that helped while we were trying to sell that that these two are at a concert. It felt like a real concert. And she has a bit of a role in the movie too, which is interesting. Overall, yeah, the music was good. I actually put two of the songs on the Perfect Summer Movie soundtrack because I like them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What about M. Night? Did he show up? Was he the FBI director?
He does a cameo. I'm not going to tell you what the cameo is, but he does show up. Yes.
But noticeable.
Yes. Yes. He has at least a couple minutes of screen time.
Okay. All right. Well, if Trapped was $10, what are you giving it for your admission price?
Well, it's just Trapped. But I felt trapped by the end of it, and it was $4.50. It's not it. Josh Hartnett.
Oh my!
Josh Hartnett is very good, man. He's likable and everything else. But it's so stupid the second half. It's just so stupid. I can suspend disbelief. I can't take it out of my body and throw it into the toilet. I just can't do it. Sorry. And he's too good.
There's
a
no twist
for that. What's it?
There's no like extra twist at the end.
No, I'm telling you, like the second half is every twist he's come up with for this concept, and he just throws them all in there at once. Like, it's twist after twist after twist, and none of them make logical sense. They're all ridiculous. Like, it's how this character got out of this situation? Nope. Every one of them is a Duke Boy situation. How are the Duke Boys going to get out of this one? And one more, one more, one more, one more. It just keeps going. God, I was so frustrated. And I wanted to like it, because I thought Josh Hartnett deserves a comeback of sorts. He's a fun guy. He was just an Oppenheimer. He had a great role in that. And
yeah, trailer looked intriguing, but unfortunately, M. Night's no longer happening.
Yeah, more old than Split, I'll tell you that. Any recent new film or TV recommendations you guys have that you want to mention?
The new Unsolved Mysteries has been entertaining. Not obviously in a good way-ish.
What?
Well, I mean,
what do you mean not
nobody... Like, these people are dead. These things did happen.
Sure.
So I don't really want to be like enjoying the fact that they never got closure, but it's very interesting.
Gotcha.
If that makes sense.
You can say it's a good show to watch.
It is.
It's a good time. I just didn't want to say enjoying. Watching.
She's just saying I'm not soaking I'm really up appreciating. The joy of dead.
I'm not taking dead pleasure people. In that part of it. Is all just a clarification.
Did you see the? Anyhow, did you see the one where there was like all the blood and they can't.
Her name was Amanda.
They can't and they can't figure out what happened.
She was 31.
It's terrible. Terrible.
Just like me. She had a dog that was also a lab. Trust me, Aaron. I had way too many similarities. I was like, these windows are getting locked up. Yep. These doors are staying locked. I'm keeping my gun next
that's
to
a,
me.
It's a creepy story because I don't know. There's so many things I could pose questions to. And I'm like, I don't understand. I don't get
it. Did you watch the episode?
The whole thing. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. The other thing that was cool is they started the season volume 4. The first episode is about Jack the Ripper, which was really cool. Because that's like a prolific story.
I didn't like that one just because I've read enough about Jack the Ripper in my lifetime. But it's if you don't know much about it, it's very cool that they kind of go through it. And they give you the list of suspects and things like that.
Yeah, I think it's especially because a lot of people have read about it, but maybe haven't seen something that depicts it. And so like having the scenarios recreated.
I've seen Jack's back.
Jesus.
I guess that's fair. There have been a couple movies and stuff. But anyway, my point was just that it's not graphic, but also gives you a lot of insight into like the depravity of the cases mm-hmm. and the situation itself.
It was sadistic. So. He was sadistic.
Yes.
Did you walk away with a theory of who Jack the Ripper was, or do you still, you're like, I don't know?
I think I'd need a little bit more. I'd have to really start researching, because I'll be honest, I didn't, like, I knew about Jack the Ripper. I guess I just never, like, really explored the case itself. So I think I would still need more deep diving investigation before I could come to a good conclusion.
I think you got to really get that English accent going to really understand. You're like, hello, cheerio, things like that.
That too.
That's how you get into the mold.
Oh, I'd like to apologize to all the people from London.
Don't apologize for me. That was spot on, bitch.
It was a little embarrassing, but also the Simone Biles documentary on Netflix has been interesting too. So you can check that out. They've done a few episodes there. And it ties in with the Olympics this year, but it's kind of recapping what her struggles were with the last Olympics when she withdrew from Tokyo and the progress she's made and what things contributed to it. You know, obviously having the assault case come out about Larry, like kind of really drew some things forward for her and contributed to the mental health sabbatical she needed. But also her return. And so it's also like the inspiring side of it to you of like, okay, we're going to the Olympics. We're doing this again. We're training. We're getting ready. And now we're here. So
she's a very impressive woman. Very,
very much.
Very talented. Have you watched Good Girl's Guide to Murder?
I tried. I got bored.
I like it. I like Emma Myers. Yeah. It's basically following.
It's on my list of things to watch.
It's good. It's about a young girl who decides to crack open a murder case from 5 years ago and try to solve it. And, you know, it's the old Veronica Mars vibe, but it's British. So there's that. I'm really enjoying it. I'm about halfway through it currently, and I don't know who done it yet, but I did have to turn subtitles on. I will have to admit that.
It's one of those. Yeah. I sat down and I got caught up with the latest two seasons of Criminal Minds, and it's a whole new show because they technically canceled that show 2019 but brought it back to Paramount Plus in last year, and so they just wrapped up their second season of this new Criminal Minds evolution. And it's actually a lot more interesting than the original show because they've decided to kind of forego the idea of Monsters of the Week. And now they have sort of Monsters of the Week, but there's an overlying story. And there's also this main villain that they're kind of chasing down. It's it's a lot. It's interesting. It's fun. It's got most of the main cast has returned for it. And yeah, you get to see some people get high on accident. You get to see every now and again they say fuck or go fuck yourself. And that's a lot of fun, too. So, yeah, it's a good sit. As if you're a fan of Criminal Minds, but you always wanted them to go a little bit more gross. Definitely a fun show to watch.
Who returned from the original cast?
AJ, Paget, Adam Rodriguez, the girl who plays Garcia, and Aisha Tyler, and
okay,
Joe Montaigne.
Okay, it's decent. Okay, I might actually watch it. So I've been very hesitant to watch it. I love the original Criminal Minds, but I have just been so resistant to try this out, this iteration. Just I don't know. I just get weird feelings about shows that I guess I didn't realize it was mostly just to keep the show going when they did it. I thought it was like a completely new thing, so I never gave it a chance.
Yeah, it's kind of a new thing, but different. Paget is now the boss, or she's like the boss, and she's wearing her gray hair with pride now, and that's kind of cool because they had been making her wear a wig for a long time. In prior seasons, so now she's wearing her gray hair, and she is as powerful and awesome as she's always been.
Troy, anything you want to mention, or you want to roll into upcoming attractions?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't here last week, but I finished Acolyte for the Star Wars fans.
Does it end strong, or does
I enjoyed the? Yeah, it finishes strong enough that I'm hesitant because the show itself wasn't necessarily like easy to watch because there were definitely like good episodes and bad episodes and good episodes and wasted episodes. But at the same time, it introduces a really great concept around who really is in control of the Force, and are the Jedi as it's the word sanctimonious or all knowing or all good as we think they are. And I think that's a really interesting play for what we've come to know as Star Wars over the years, thinking that the Jedi were always these good people. So to have them kind of give you pause and thoughts on who's really good or bad and what does good or bad mean, I think is a really interesting take. Where it goes from here will be fascinating to see, because there was a mysterious character in the background.
Snore.
I gotta finish it.
I don't think that's his name, mostly, but because they didn't actually say his name.
Did you watch it, John?
No, I'm just saying snore, like, no,
then shut up.
Because I'm done with Star Wars.
Shut up. You don't get to have an opinion and negate his enjoyment if you didn't even watch it.
It's 100 years before the prequels. It's a new era. It's nope. Different. It's interesting. The politicalness of it's actually more Game of Thrones than season 2 of House of the Dragon was.
Nope.
Yeah, a lot of opinions for somebody who didn't watch it. That's all I'm saying.
I've heard enough from you just on this podcast. The Presumed Innocent finale was freaking fantastic.
Oh. Like
if you did not watch Presumed Innocent this summer, you missed out. Get on it, like, ASAP.
I called it.
And,
I called it. That's my wife. I called it. Early.
I hate when you do that, because I was like half right, but I wasn't
all
right.
Don't see anything, because I haven't watched it. I'm not,
but I called it.
I figured it out in this.
I figured it out in episode 1.
I figured it out in the third to last episode.
Exactly how it went down is exactly how I figured it out. I was so proud of it. I'm like, God damn, I'm good. That's how I felt.
It's because he read the book.
I did. It doesn't. No, that's different. Go ahead.
And then I'm also still watching Sunny, the Rashida Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Sci-fi, quirky. Right?
Wait, last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you talked about this. You hated it.
Yeah. And then there was a twist that happened, and I was kind of like, and I was like, okay, let me see where this is going.
God. So it snapped your neck and you're back.
You literally will just, if Apple has their goddamn logo stamped on it, you're just like, I guess I'm going to see it through. Check cleared.
Well, every time you get, like, you hit play, it like shows you what stuff is coming up next. And
I just keep
Disney
going
doesn't have
stuff.
Anything on it because Acolyte's over.
All right. What new stuff is coming out? You and Amanda are going to handle this.
New stuff. Well, Borderlands, that's right, the video game, 3 video games and a whole bunch of content in between, is getting turned into a movie. And the movie is basically going to center around Kate Blanchett's character Lilith, an infamous bounty hunter with a mysterious past, reluctantly returning to her home Pandora. Not that Pandora. And it's the most chaotic planet in the galaxy. Her mission is to find a missing daughter of Atlas, which is played by Ramirez, and the universe's most powerful S.O.B. The game's a lot of fun. The trailer and effects look like they're about what you would expect them to be for a video game adaptation. I'm not sure about this one, but it does have Cate Blanchett, Kevin Hart, Jack Black, and Jamie Lee Curtis. So how could you go wrong?
Nobody knows what you meant by not that Pandora, by the way.
Yeah, they do. Avatar.
Avatar.
Maybe you don't know what he meant.
Nobody by gives that. A shit.
I did. I laughed. God, why do you hate on Troy? You didn't like his show. Now he can't do a joke right. What? What did he do? Are you mad he went to Ren Faire without you? Is that what it is?
It's exactly what it is.
I totally wanted to go to Ren Faire with him.
Figures.
Me and Troy would have a good time there, but he would bitch about how much it costs the whole time.
The whipper.
On another note, we have It Ends With Us. A girl named Lily has just moved and is ready to start her life after college. Lily then meets a guy named Riley, stupidly spelled R-Y-L-E. No offense if that's how your name is spelled. And she falls for him. As she is developing feelings for Ryle / Riley, Atlas, her first love, reappears and challenges the relationship between Lily and Riley. So this one has Blake Lively, which is the only reason I'm interested in seeing it.
Yep.
Very interested in seeing it because of her, and also very interested to see if my hair will be any nicer with her new hair collection, Blake Brown. Available now, only at Target, not sponsored yet.
Good to know. Good to know.
Is anybody looking for a little cheating love story for the weekend?
I mean, it's something we haven't seen in a while, so yeah, and it's Blake Lively.
I like Blake Lively. I'll watch it. I like her.
Yeah, we supported her husband. We might as well support her, you know?
God, I wonder what their house is going to be like. Thanks for destroying any chance of people going to see my movie, jackass. I appreciate that.
No, she's going to get all the wives of the women. They probably still saw Deadpool and Wolverine, but now they get to have a girls' night out because they're even doing like special girls' night out screenings for the theaters. So women will be there.
Maybe women would rather see.
I want the drive-in movie double feature, right? So that it ends with Deadpool and Wolverine.
Maybe they want to see Deadpool and Wolverine over this one. Maybe that, because honestly.
I'm saying they see both.
Okay.
I'm saying win-win. They, as in we, see both.
The Blake Lively double feature.
It's the Barbenheimer
feature.
Before Moan comes out later this year. Well, there's a really cool pop singer duo group from the 1980s that was all the rage. And you might know them from the title of the movie, Girl, You Know It's True. And the Grammy-winning German-French R&B duo, Milli Vanilli, this basically documents their rise as well as their fall after it emerges that they lip-sync all of their songs.
This is a true story. I didn't do it, but I was going to do this, right? Just in the spirit of Milli Vanilli, because they sent a screener link of this, and I haven't had time to watch it, or I would have for the podcast, but I haven't had time. I was thinking about watching it, and then plugging in ChatGPT to do the review. Because I feel like that would be apropos for a Milli Vanilli movie.
That's messed up. That's real funny, though.
I would never do it, but boy, that would have been funny. You know, lip syncing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to watch it, kind of. I'm not going to lie.
All right. Well, we've also got Cuckoo, even though it looks like it's spelled Cuck-Coo. That's not how it's said, just so you know. Reluctantly, I did look it up to make sure I was spelling it properly or saying it properly. Reluctantly, 17-year-old Gretchen leaves her American home to live with her father, who has just moved into a resort in the German Alps with his new family. Sounds pretty solid. Arriving at their future residence, they are greeted by her father's boss, who takes an inexplicable interest in Gretchen's mute half-sister, Alma. This gets more and more interesting. Something doesn't seem right in this tranquil vacation paradise. Gretchen is plagued by strange noises and bloody visions until she discovers a shocking secret that also concerns her own family. It stars John Malkovich and Hunter Schafer. Hunter Schafer, you probably remember from Euphoria. I'm interested in seeing this. It's a good old little horror movie that seems like it could be very interesting. Oh my god, that scared me. It was my hair. I thought it was bug.
that one debuted at South by Southwest. You guys missed it. There you go. That's a captured live. Amanda was attacked by an invisible bug.
You can say she's hearing strange noises and having bloody visions.
The timing was too good.
Oh my gosh. It's not a werewolf movie, is it?
No.
They turn into chickens instead of werewolves. Is that what it is? And then finally wrapping out the weekend, we have The Instigators over on... something doesn't seem...
They turn into chickens instead of werewolves. What the fuck are you talking about? Don't just glide past that. The name of the movie is
Cuckoo.
What?
Cuckoo.
God.
Like a cuckoo bird.
Oh, it was such a reach. Such a reach. All right, continue.
The Instigators lands on, of course, Apple TV Plus. The film follows two thieves who go on the run with the help of one of their therapists after a robbery goes awry. It's Casey Affleck this time teaming up with Matt Damon, not Ben. But it should be good because anything that follows thieves and on the run and all that fun stuff and car chases, it's going to be a good time.
You're just saying that because it's on Apple TV Plus. Literally, this could be about absolutely anything. And you'd be like, you know what? It's probably going to be solid, though, because actually...
Honestly, it's because it's got the guy that grew potatoes on Mars, okay? How about them apples?
It does help. It does help.
He's watching Sunny, and also, are the police going directly to your house, Amanda?
I was hoping you didn't hear that. I had to mute so quickly. I'm in a different neighborhood these days. Let me just tell you.
I tell you, well, speaking of traps... We're going to move on to the hoe trap.
They're still going.
What movie or TV trap that you've seen throughout the years is the one that horrified you or impressed you the most? And you can pull from anywhere. I don't care.
My very favorite one is from... I can't even get it out. Is from Better Watch Out when they start testing the traps from Home Alone.
Which one? I'm trying to remember.
The paint can one.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, they're having this whole argument where they couldn't, you know, decide as to whether or not the paint can would either kill somebody or just really hurt him. And the outcome was great.
I mean, I'll do practical and theoretical because you can't pick one, everything in Goonies ever is amazing. Yeah. Well, because I don't know if my theoretical one would work in the context of what you put in here. So, I mean, but Goonies is always my favorite. I love the pipe organ. And the is it A sharp or is it B flat? Yeah, otherwise we'll all be flat.
Yeah, that's good.
I think that whole situation with the falling floor and all that and getting that open, I think that was a great way with the Fratellis coming up. It just creates so much suspense. But I think actually one of the better traps theoretically is the Truman Show. Like the fact that they created an entire place to keep a guy in for 30 years and not know that it was his life being broadcast for over 10,000 days, like that. That whole concept, I think, is just, if I found that out about myself, like, I'd probably freak the F out.
And now people volunteer for it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's reality TV. People just love it. They sign up.
But they at least know it's happening. The difference is this guy didn't know it was happening.
No, I get that. I'm just saying, like, that's how far we've come as a society. You know, when Truman Show came out, people would not have thought that was something they would ever want to do. And now people do it every day. Amanda, what do you got besides police surrounding your house?
they're coming for me for probably a speeding ticket, if we're being honest. I've got some unpaid police bills.
Yeah, you should probably take care of that. Yeah.
I should probably do that. I would say, well, first of all, it has to come from a Saw movie for me. You know, when I think about a trap and I think I know where Aaron's going to go with his, and mine just has to go down the rabbit hole of horror. And so my number one would be from Saw when Amanda, coincidentally enough, gets in a bear trap on her face.
Do you guys remember the one
I'm talking about?
Yep. That's
so brutal to like think about, and then the timer's going down, and there's just so much at stake in that situation, and you think about being in that position, and it's just mortifying. And that's got to be probably, I think, one of the most gruesome ones to just, like, sit through of, like, oh, my God, what will happen? What will happen?
Where do you think I'm going? I'm curious.
I have an idea.
I feel like it might be related to Indiana Jones.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's where I thought he would go to. Temple of Doom.
We are all right. Going interesting. To die.
What nope. are you, what did nope. you go oh, with?
I love that one.
I do love that trap. The trap where he's where she's got to put her hand through the bugs and oh god, that'll get me every time. Ugh. But nope, that's not it. Well, first, if people love trap movies like Saw and things like that, I definitely recommend a movie called The Collector. If you haven't seen it, it's a very, very low budget independent film that I freaking love. And just go watch it blind. I'm not going to tell you what it's about, but go watch it blind. It's a great movie if you like traps like that. But the movie I love for its trap, its intricacy, the horror of it, how just fucked up it is Old Boy, which is if you've never seen Old Boy, that's a 15-year revenge trap in the making, and it's brutal, it's horrific. This guy is held hostage for 15 years, manipulated, tortured, then released and manipulated to go forward on a course of action that, once he realizes what that course of action is even more horrific than anything that came before it. It's just one just mental trap that this poor guy is just caught in a loop. And it's all because of a mistake he made. And I just love that one. If you've never seen it, that's also go in blind. Don't Google it. Don't look at Wikipedia. Don't look up the plot.
Yeah.
Just watch it. And you can watch the American version too, if you want. It's fine. It's not as good as the original, but
The original is actually streaming on Netflix right now.
I watch it. If you've never seen it, give it a watch. And just don't read anything about it. Just watch it.
So unless good. This is a different Old Boy. Make sure you watch the right Old Boy.
Josh Brolin's in the remake. All right. Now let's go to our From the Outside In topic. Look, this doesn't have to be the longest topic in the world. We're just talking about music, man. And we initially had this discussion in 2020, and, you know, I'll have a link to that in the show notes if you want to hear it. But also, if you want to just see the playlist, or actually listen to the playlist, it would be weird if you just want to look at it, right? You don't want to listen to anything, you just want to look at it. It's weird. But if you go to Spotify, we actually have a playlist called The Hollywood Outsider Perfect Summer Movie Soundtrack that has all the songs we mentioned in Volume 1 4 years ago, and all the songs we're going to mention today. The idea is, think of the movies that make your perfect summer movie soundtrack, like for you, like movies, they didn't have to come out in the summer, but we're talking about things that we didn't talk about in that first iteration. And the music just has to be something that you would play in the summer. You have your top down or your doors off if you own a Jeep or whatever, and you're just driving around and you just got radio blare and you're in the pool, you're outside. Like, that's what I'm talking about. So what music needs to be added? Let's just do, what do we want to do? Now I'm going to keep up. You guys tell me as we go, and I'm going to start adding these to the playlist as we go. So tell me, like, let's just go round robin. Tell me some song. What do you got? Who wants to go first? What do you got?
Well, I wasn't on the last one, so I'll go first.
Well, whose fault was that, bitch? See. I didn't.
I don't know. Maybe I had COVID or something. It was 2020. Right,
give me some songs. Let's go.
All right. Can we go the whole 10?
No, we're going to go round robin. Just name one or two and then go to the next person. And just keep all going right. around.
Well, I'll go with two classics then, because these two definitely say summer, because one literally is all of them coming out of high school, going into summer vacation. And the other one is happening during summer at a resort. But for me, it's You're the One That I Want from Grease and Time of My Life from Dirty Dancing. Both of those, like, have always said summer to me.
Really?
And definitely ones I still listen to.
Okay. Well, you don't strike me as... Well, I guess you love musicals. And which one from Dirty Dancing?
The Time of My Life.
Yeah.
The closing number.
The Time of My Life. That one?
You got it.
Okay. Got them. Add it to the playlist. Come on, guys. You can hit your Spotify. Who's next?
My vibe is going to be so different from everyone's vibe.
I like your vibe. Let's go, Amanda. Bring that vibe. Come on. Come on.
So let me preface and say my summer playlist is based on how I feel during the summer. When it's the summer and I can have the windows down, I feel like a boss bitch. Okay. And so I want music that reflects that.
Okay.
So it's just fun. It's dancey. It's got like good high tempo. So my first is Doja Cat's Vegas. Okay. And that was in Elvis.
Got it. All right. So you like the Doja Cat and you like a little Elvis baby. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. What's the other one? What else you got?
Like everybody else, my list.
She said she had two.
I mean, I have plenty, but I was just saying, like, just I'll do two go at one a time one,
so we can get this list going here.
Okay, cool. Cool. So my next one was in Empire, the show, and it is Shaboozy's A Bar Song, parentheses, tipsy.
Oh, that's a good one.
It is a great one.
That's a good one.
All right. It's technically not a movie, but we'll take it. Go ahead.
I went movie or TV show, so I definitely stretched it.
Yeah, well,
I'm sure you can find a movie that had that song. But there's a website that lets you search.
So that's why I did movie or TV show.
Okay. Go ahead, John. Let's keep it rolling.
I just wanted to make sure I had permission to speak before I started speaking. You're losing this time.
It's going away pretty quick. That's all I'm saying.
So my first song I'm going to pick out, because like everybody else, I want something light, something fun, something that I can listen to on a run as I, you know, I run. I know I don't look like it, but I do. So my first song is from Kid Lario and Justin Bieber, which is Stay from Free Guy.
It's a good one.
It's a very fun song, very light and lively, and it's got the right kind of beats to run to it.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go a little bit different from the Minions, Rise of Gru. I'm going to do Turn Up the Sunshine from Diana Ross and Tame Impala.
What? All right.
What do you mean, what?
Just I don't know. I just don't picture you watching a Minions movie. That's all.
It happens.
Sure. I'll give you my two first. Dance the Night and I'm Just Ken from Barbie. Yeah, I picked Barbie to start with. And I
love those.
Yep. They're there. Boom.
Yeah. That's pretty great. Those are good ones.
Troy, back to you.
I mean, we just saw Twisters, but nothing beats Van Halen in the original Twister for summer, because summer is storm season. So when you got Humans Being, just blasting, right? Shine on, shine on. So good. Old
Sammy Hagar.
Is that the name of that one? Humans Being? Is that the name of the song?
Humans Being. Yes.
I added some Twisters songs that I'm going to talk about.
Yeah. I went old school. Okay. And then another one, like just being outside in the summer is always great. So I think of being like Into the Wild, great soundtrack done by Eddie Vedder. Hard Sun on that soundtrack is so good. It just makes you feel like you're like outdoors, enjoying everything.
These are good, man. I'm already feeling like more of the summer vibe, you know? I just feel a little more into it, a little looser.
My songs are going to make you feel very loose, very very loose.
Sexually or just in my bed?
Yeah, honestly, because there's such a vibe. They're just like dancing music.
Is it like your word of the summer? Is that your brat? What vibe? Is that my vibe? It's my vibe?
I don't know. I guess I'm just younger than you because it's so common.
This is like my vibe. Right. Tell us, man, what is your vibe?
This.
What?
Oh, you want my next song?
Yeah. What the fuck? What is your goddamn vibe? I can't picture it in my head.
Okay, so this one is from Bruised, and I had to get a Bad Bunny song in here. La Noche de Anoche. I know there's another really good one that I probably would have picked, but John picked it, and I want him to have that experience. So I picked a different Bad Bunny song. My next song is... Yes, I did find a way to fit this in here. Kevin Gates, Really, Really from American Honey. You're welcome for those.
I don't think I've ever heard that song.
These are very explicit songs, so maybe we should do like John's playlist, Amanda's playlist, Aaron's playlist.
Nope. You got to live with it. Gotta live with it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I also just want to quickly add, in Volume 1, I did go with a lot more traditional songs, like really good, like not... Mm-hmm.
And now you're ruining
not explicit songs. You're just
throwing it all away.
I switched up the vibe. Yes, you heard that. The vibe for this one, intentionally. I created a theme that I wanted to go with. I wanted high tempo, like pop, rap, or like Latin music. And then I have... one or two really random ones in there,
well, just to throw you off. you were the first one to throw Bad Bunny on this list. Anyone who's listened to Bad Bunny knows that's not clean.
That's true. Oh, well, I started with Doja Cat, so there's that.
Right.
I really like my music safe. I really, really do. I really want it to to feel like a Disney cartoon.
How is the new Eminem album?
Oh, it's really good. It's really good. It's very offensive. I liked it.
All right, so my next two songs, I'm gonna go with That's from six. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse or Across the Spider-Verse, is Creepin' by Metro Boomin and The Weeknd and 21 Savage.
Hmm, that is a great overall soundtrack.
So yes, for sure.
Oh yeah, the whole soundtrack is pretty good.
Yeah.
And then from Top Gun Maverick, I Ain't Worried from One Republic.
Ooh, that's a great one.
Yep. Very chill, very, you know, poppy.
That's a good breezy one.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And I don't have to mention it because it was on my list. Good deal. So I will go to Call Me Cruella from Cruella because I love that song. I find that really fun.
That's
and then I'm going to go to Bad Memory from Birds of Prey. I listen to it every single time I run. Every single time I run, I listen to it. It's got a great beat. It's lively. It's fun. And I'd never heard of it before. So,
and the artist for that is
Kay Flay. Look, if you're thinking I got all the artists written down, you'll be sadly mistaken because I just wrote the songs and they're going to be down there. I am not, scheduling music for a festival. I am just putting it into a Spotify playlist that you guys can partake and look up to your heart's content. Just trying to make your life a little better. That's it.
All right, well, the rest of us actually gave you the artists, so that way, if you didn't want to listen to our playlist and just put in your own thing right in Bray immediately, you know, that's totally fine.
Good for you.
Because two that Aaron will probably be like, really? Okay. For me, 500 Days of Summer, Scream Summer. It's a great movie. Check it out. But Sweet Disposition by The Temper Trap on that soundtrack is amazing. Such a good song. And then nothing says summer like skateboarding at the skate park or BMX biking on the jumps and the ramps. And I think Lords of Dogtown was a great skateboarding movie. You should check it out. They have a great tune on there called Space Truckin' by Deep Purple.
Space Truckin'.
Both of those are really great.
Yeah, I was going to say at least your second one's a good pick. I can't remember what your first one was.
Sweet Disposition by The Temper Trap.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's also a good one.
Yep.
So my next two, one is Megan Thee Stallion's Cash Shit, which this is a stretch. I know. I think it might be. I don't know. Hashtag Black AF. It's a show.
Okay.
Also, super classic. Okay. You cannot go wrong with this one. Smash Mouth's All Star from Shrek.
Wow.
That's going to be stuck in my head now. Thank you very much.
Hey, yeah, now, you're an awesome.
Yeah, everyone. Oh, God, everybody knows the words, Amanda. You don't have to say anything.
Yeah.
No, it's all in everybody's head.
That's
right
why
now.
I just started it.
Get paid.
All right, so my next two from Bullet Train, Titi Me Pregunto from Bad Bunny.
Are you sure about
is
that?
Is the Woo! First one I'm going to check. Titi Me Pregunto. Hey, man, I can't.
I know.
I have a stutter in English and Spanish.
That's the amazing part. All right. it's added. I got it. What does that mean in Spanish?
All right. And then from Dite my question.
A question?
Is the exact pronoun. It's like I'm thinking. It's a kind of like what he's doing. I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Is what he's saying in it?
It translates in Puerto Rican to Auntie Asked Me. The song is an imaginary conversation between the singer and his aunt, Titi, who asks him if he has many girlfriends.
This oh, yeah.
AI
that's why it's on
this.
Bullet Train. I get it.
Nice.
What's the other one?
I never knew that Titi is a... Yeah, it's Tia. Okay. And then the second one from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Embers from Owl City.
Owl City is a jam. All their stuff is good.
Who that sings
feels
that
very
one?
2003.
There's a lot of Ember songs.
Owl City.
You should probably listen when you start talking.
Though. This is not his type of music, you guys. He's never heard of Owl City.
Why don't you stop judging me? How about that? How about that, huh?
Do you know the Lightning Bug song?
What?
Fireflies.
Okay, then.
10 million Fireflies.
I know the Firefly song.
Yeah,
take
that
my
one.
Land. Take That one?
That's a way better one. Oh. That's a way better one.
Agreed. Gotta be. So I'm going to give you two from Twisters. One's called Out of Oklahoma.
So good.
Yes. It's actually a really good soundtrack overall. Like, it really, really was. I really think people should check out that soundtrack. Even if you're not a fan of the movie, soundtrack's really good. And Leave the Light On from Twisters, too. That also, that's Jelly Roll. I remember that one. So there you go.
That's good glad for him that he got one in there, too.
Say what?
I was glad for Jelly Roll that he got one in a movie soundtrack.
That's a guy who's hard not to like, isn't he? I mean, yeah. It's really, really hard not to root for that guy. He just seems like a genuine, nice guy who's just had a hell of a run.
Yeah, he's touring with Morgan Wallen right now, and up in Tampa, Morgan Wallen canceled the concert, and because he was sick, so Jelly Roll just like, all right, this is where I'm going to be. I'm going to give you all a concert, and he just did his own concert.
That's so dope. I love That's when that cool happens.
Yeah.
This one actually has Sunshine in the title, and it's Steal My Sunshine from Len. It was featured in the 1999, I believe it was, classic Go with Katie Holmes and company. That one is just a fun poppy. Like, you can ride with the windows down, top down, on your bike, what have you. Just a really great time. But the best place to spend summer, hands down, you will not say, especially because Lollapalooza was just here. Yeah. In Chicago, the song Chicago by Sufjan Stevens. Like, that one is such a great jam, and that's from Little Miss Sunshine.
That's a movie I haven't seen in forever. I need to go back to.
I'm sure you heard the song Chicago a lot, because it's like plastered all over Instagram and TikTok now.
Of course. Because I'm hip. It's my vibe. You know, my vibe is Chicago, really, if you think about it.
That's how he rizzes.
What? I don't even say Riz. That's a little funny. Too young. Okay. I've got from Inventing Anna a song called Best Friend from Saweetie. And I love this song because, first of all, it's super fun. Like, part of lyrics are beep, beep, is that my bestie, Anna Tessie? And it is just a lot of fun to sing along to. But also, when I think about some of the best summers that I've had, or like some of the best road trips or whatever, it takes me back to my best friend. And so I was like, this would be a really good song to throw in there to kind of represent my girl.
Aw.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool.
That's so sweet.
Very cool.
And she's also a bad bitch.
Is that it?
All right. And so was that two?
Oh, no, I gave you one. Sorry. Mm-hmm. My second one, I forgot I put this on here. Is the song Two of Us, but I need to specify that it's the Michael Myers version from Austin Powers.
What?
That's funny.
Because I need him rapping. That's
random, but funny.
That's priceless.
I don't know if that's very on funny. Spotify.
It might be.
You can at least get the Bill Withers version. If you can't get the Michael Myers version.
Okay. To you, John, because I don't.
All right. So now that's my next two.
Yeah.
They're the same artist, only different combination of the same artist. So from Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse this time, it's Sunflower from Post Malone and Swae Lee.
Good choice.
And then from Mitchell's versus the Machines, it's Circles from Post Malone.
Those are both
which
good.
I'm very upset to find out that these songs are what actually Post Malone was, because I had no idea what songs he sang for the longest time until I had to look this stuff up.
They never fit what you would expect him to sing.
Also, absolutely not.
Yep.
I'm going to be super confused now because I always thought Circles was by Soul Coughing. But
oh my gosh. Okay, well, I'm going to throw in from the recent events, Bye 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 is now going to be officially on this bad boy. It just is. And I'm sorry. You're just going to have to live with it. And also the Like a Prayer kind of remix that they did for Deadpool and Wolverine. I've never listened to that song that much in my entire life as I have over the last couple weeks. So those two are definitely on there. Giddy up. And what we got? One more round? What are we doing? One more round?
Yeah. Well, my final two in the past, July 4th meant summer. And in the past, July 4th meant Will Smith. And Men in Black will always be the song of a summer, hands down. Like, it's just, it was kitschy, it was fun. And even though it was like a whole like riff on Forget Me Nots, like, Men in Black is still a great summer song to like just jive out to. Definitely hands down, Will Smith's Men in Black from Men in Black. And then nothing, of course, says anything more than summer than Sundress Season and the ladies dancing in the bands playing at night and everything. So Lady Marmalade from Moulin Rouge.
Wow.
That's a good one.
Giving it up
That's
for the ladies.
That's a really good one. I love that one.
Like how he said that like he's a DJ. Like he's still in college. Giving it up for the ladies. Lady Marmalade coming to you from Moulin Rouge. This is Troy. And WHO.
We'll kitchy ya-ya on the other side.
Christina Aguilera. Boy, has she had a journey.
I love her. You be nice.
I wasn't being not nice. I'm saying she's had a journey.
She was always better than Britney, in my opinion. Oh,
yeah, she could sing.
Woo!
Because
yeah,
she could
she's
sing.
A much better singer.
It's not much better. She can sing. Britney can't. She can just put catchy words together. Christina Aguilera can freaking sing. Like, she can rival Mariah Carey.
Mm-hmm. She's
up there. Hands down.
All right. Amanda, final run. Let's go.
Okay. So, first up, and I really don't know how you say this. If I'm saying it wrong, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Beacho tag? I don't know. It's from Carol G. I love Carol G, so I had to find a way to get Carol G in here. And apparently the song was in Heartbreak High, which is a show. Sorry, Aaron, I just kept doing it.
So you basically went and found a song, you love a song, and you're like, please let it show up somewhere?
Or the artist. I'd be like, how do I get this song in here? And I tried it with so many of the songs that like I'm currently jamming to because it is summer season.
Because it's your vibe, yeah.
But yeah, and I was desperate to try to find a way to incorporate Kendrick Lamar's Not Like Us.
No, that's not bad.
Because that is currently, I know it's so overplayed now, but that is like such an iconic moment from 2024 summer.
Sure. But so what was the song that you're talking about?
Beach Show Tag? I don't know.
Can you spell
it? B-I-C-H-O-T-A-G. Bichota. My next one is my favorite summer song. It's truthfully anytime the sun starts to come out, which is almost every day here in Colorado, unlike Illinois. And every time I'm driving through the wind and it's blowing in my hair, my face, I roll the windows down and I'm enjoying life. It's to DMX's X Gon' Give It To You.
It's already on there. We talked about it on the last one.
Ah, son of a biscuit. I must
son of a biscuit.
It
but it's worth mentioning. I'm not putting it on there twice.
It is. Dang it. That's two of my picks that got ripped away from me because you already did Dance the Night Away.
Oh, well, this thing pulled away from you. It was literally like your suggestion on the last time we did this.
Yeah. No, I know.
But she brought 10, you know, alternates last time as well. So
yeah.
She's got two you could pick from.
They're all going away slowly. So the only one I have left is Doja Cat's Kiss Me More.
I'm certain it's
but I can't remember what that was in.
Yeah, I don't think that was in anything. It was just Doja Cat's album. We're not having a movie soundtrack with a bunch of songs that aren't in movies. Just because it's your vibe.
Okay, I've got another one. Cause
are you sure?
They literally made.
Waiting to talk for like 10 minutes now.
Okay, but hang on a second. Because they literally made a documentary, so I know for a fact there's no way that this song is not in there. Wildflowers by Tom Petty.
Name the movie.
His documentary on his life, John. Tom Petty. It counts.
I think you're missing the whole point of the project here. But go ahead, John. Go to you.
All right. So my last two that I'm going to go ahead and give up is from the Marvels, Kiss Me Deadly by Lita Ford. I love that song so much. It reminds me of the 80s when we first moved to the States. It was on MTV all the time. Love that song. I love it every time it comes up. Lita Ford is a bad bitch. There we go.
What movie?
I said The Marvels.
Okay. I don't know what that movie. I've never heard of that movie. Is that a real movie?
The Marvels.
Oh, Marvels.
Captain Marvels.
I thought you said Marbles.
Bro, I was like,
Marbles.
What?
I thought you said The Marbles. You said From the Marbles.
And I was about to say, you've got dementia.
Thank you for having my back.
All right.
Tom Petty's Wildflowers was in Parks and Recreation.
Ooh, I was going to say, I mean, literally, they made an entire documentary about making that song. So I feel like it counts.
Okay,
and I got the name done. Just in case you needed done. It. Tom Petty, Somewhere You Feel Free, The Making of Wildflowers.
I'm sure Dojo Cat was on there too.
Parks and Rec.
John, what's your second one?
Dojo Cat? Dojo Cat and Doja Cat are two.
Doja.
I don't care. I'm not a fan of her music. Go ahead.
All right. So my final pick, and this is ever since this, I saw the trailer with this song in it. This song gets me pumped. It's on every single running playlist that I make, from Godzilla versus Kong. The song is Here We Go by Chris Classic or Adam Feedley, whichever version you want to listen to. They're the exact same song. Such a badass song. I dig it every single time, and it gets me so pumped.
It's called Here We Go?
Yeah.
Got it. So now I get to wrap this up. I'm going to pick two newer ones. Don't Want to Be Yours from Trap, which is Salika. That's M. Night Shyamalan's daughter. So I thought that was a nice, catchy song, and she does a very good job with it. So we're going to add that. And also, Here We Go from the new Beverly Hills Cop 4 Axel F. It's Lil Nas X. I just love how he took the Axel F theme song and he made a freaking song on it, and it crushes. Like, it's fantastic. Or is that fire? Is That's it a good. Vibe? I don't know. I can't keep up with all the goddamn buzzwords, but it's a great song and I really love it.
I think fire's still in, but I'm also in my early 30s, so I'm losing my hip, if you know what I mean. Oh. Like, both of them, being hip and also having them that work.
And I'm going to throw in Band of the Hand because that's an old song that I love that no one knows, but it's from a movie. It's literally the title track from a film that was Michael Mann's, I think, first film. And I don't like Bob Dylan, but I love that song. Boom! There we go. Random song titles, the episode. How about that, huh?
I think we did exceptional.
I don't think you followed the rules at all. I think you went and grabbed all the songs you like to listen to, and you're like, I hope to God that was in a movie at some point.
No, it was mostly searching by an artist and then seeing which songs of those I liked and then seeing what they were in to make sure that it was like at least semi-legitimate.
Okay, sounds good. Guys, that's it. We're done. Anything you want to say in closing? Anything to complete your vibe, to, you know, explain your vibe?
I got to hurry up because I think I'm getting arrested.
Huh. You probably should be. You've got a lot of tickets. You need... Is there any lawyers on retainer here that could probably help her out? Like, it's... But I'm not really joking. All right, so that's going to do it. So remember, you can find Volume 1 in the show notes. You can link to it if you want to hear that episode, or you can just go to find that playlist, right? It's on Spotify. All those songs have just been added. I was dutifully adding them as we were going through them. And that is the Hollywood Outsider Perfect Summer Movie Soundtrack. Add it to your Spotify playlist, and you can get all those songs. And let us know what your favorites are. All right, that's going to do it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Remember, the next time you head to a theater, stream comfortably on your couch or just listen to that Spotify playlist. Buy popcorn. Of course, then you're going to be crunching while you're listening. Other people are trying to enjoy it. And you're like, I don't know if popcorn's the best answer.
Troy, if Aaron paid you $10, would you put the same playlist on Apple Music?
See, the thing is, it takes like 2 seconds with this total app called SongShift. SongShift is the greatest app on iOS ever invented.
So are you going to do that?
I was going to say, is this a yes or a no?
Yeah. So as long as he gives me the playlist link for Spotify, I can move it over to Apple Music and we can have both links on there.
So it might be
on, put on Amazon Music too.
Okay. Look at this. I don't know how to do this. Come on. Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, check your other places and you might find that playlist elsewhere.